I was born in Carroll County and raised in Carroll County in a little town called Gamber. It's a very small town now. 70 years ago, it was a lot smaller. My father was one of 9 children, so every other house was a relative of some kind, so you couldn't get away with anything. I attended a Methodist church. I remember going to Sunday school, coloring pictures of Jesus, and I remember knowing that he was the Son of God. But that's all I was taught. I wasn't taught that I was a sinner, that he was my savior. It went no further. So something tragic happened in my family. And as was the custom back then, you didn't boo-hoo and talk about it and go to counselors and all that stuff. It just wasn't discussed. Not even with the people that were involved. Nothing was discussed. So my mother one day was at work, and evidently she was crying. And a lady named Nora Krushon, who Debbie knows, invited my mother to go to church at Arlington Baptist, which was clear down in Baltimore near the Pimlico Racetrack. Gamber's a long way from Pimlico Racetrack, especially with the roads they had then. My mother took us 3 children, and we went to church. All 4 of us got saved that day. My father wouldn't go. Well, when we got home and my father saw what a difference there was, the next week he went and my father got saved. Well, that started it. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night Good News Club, Wednesday night junior choir practice, memory time. I mean, our life revolved around the church, which upset my family because my grandfather was the superintendent of Sunday schools at the Methodist Church. So, we were told that we were not allowed to go to my grandparents' house. They lived 3 doors from us. And every Sunday, we went there for dinner. Not only were we not allowed to go to my grandparents' house, but our aunts and uncles were encouraged not to associate with us. But that didn't deter us. We were gonna do what we were gonna do for the Lord. In fact, that went on for 5 years that my grandfather would not allow anybody to talk to us. And that was tough on us as little children. After a while, our song leader at Arlington started his own church out here. Trying to think where it was. It was off of Warfelsburg, right. I was trying to think of the name. I knew it started with a W. Started a church out here, and some of the families decided to come with him to help him get his new church started. Well, that was great. But this time I was a teenager. I was president of the youth group. We did lots of things. We were very involved. And one day the pastor gets up in front of the church and announces he's been having an affair with one of the women in the church. Well, that split the church in half, and I left the church and pretty much walked away from God. I got married, had 2 children, got divorced. Went to work at a company called Sweetheart Cup, which is a Jewish company, and kind of worked my way up. Yeah, that's how I got this one. So they were all very nice to me, and as I took college classes and stuff, they promoted me. And I would talk to anywhere, we had 300 to 400 salesmen, I would talk to any of them multiple times a day, which I had to talk to him a couple times a day. I called him a New York Jew, and he called me a Baptist Bible thumper. So we knew that something had to come of it. We say that now, we didn't at the time. Again, something traumatic happened in my family that I couldn't discuss with anybody close by. He picked up something in my voice and he kept saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing's wrong." "Yeah, something's wrong." "Well, he's 300 miles away, so what do I care? I'm going to tell him. I talked to him." Well, there were many salesmen that were Christians, and we would share our prayer requests and stuff. So one day, God says to me, "Send Lerman a Bible." And I remember sitting at my desk and looking up from my cubicle and saying, "Is this a joke?" Okay. So I sent him a Bible. I get a phone call. What is the idea of sending me this Bible? It's for Gentiles.
That's all on a post-it note. Show everybody a post-it note. 5 minutes, huh?
So he said he wasn't going to read my Bible. He was going to go get his own. He didn't even have his own. So he goes down to the rabbis and gets his
own. The Bowery.
The Orthodox section, and gets his own. And he starts comparing, reading. And he called me up. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Picked my brain, drove me crazy. Finally, I said to him one day, look, I cannot talk you into heaven. You either believe or you don't believe. I suggest you go to Jews for Jesus, because I can't help you anymore. And that's what happened.
Now that you took half of what I was going to say, she must have been reading my notes, because I have pages. She's got a post-it note. Excuse me. Are you finished? Are you finished?
After you're finished, I'm going to say something else.
Well, mine was a little different experience. I was born in Manhattan, of a Jewish family, non-practicing. We went to synagogue two or three times a year. And so I had very little formal. Well, I shouldn't say that because I'm thinking now with my notes. I went to Hebrew school and after school and Sunday school and services on Friday and services on Saturday. So I guess I had some background. But let me just go back. So I'm thinking back, and I settled on 6 or 7 years old, living in the Bronx, as the time that I first consciously believed in God. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't in my God equation. But the thing is, I believed that God was real, that God was an entity. And I guess nobody knows here how nervous I really am. My mouth is totally dry, and I don't speak well in front of people. Maybe one-on-one is better. So if you each line up, I'll talk to you separately. So God was someone I prayed to keep me from being like left alone upstairs in my room when everybody was outside cooling off at night. We had very strict rules. I think I was in bed even in the summer, 9 o'clock. Actually, that was through high school. Probably went to 10. Now you know why I go to bed so early. So I would pray to God. And what do kids pray for? They pray for a new bike, a toy, or something of that nature. And I wasn't getting my prayers answered. Thank you. Thank you. She is really my helpmate. And I made a conscious decision to pray, to keep praying to God. But I changed my way of praying, and I would pray and thank God for what I had. And I still do that to this day. I have prayers, and I have requests, and I have lots of thanks. And that was my beginning. So, it's a little hard to discuss, but through my life and into my 30s, I had recurring nightmares that I was being beaten by a motorcycle gang with motorcycle chains. I assume they were on motorcycle chains, but they were really wide length, big length, heavy chains, and I was being beaten all over with them, and I would wake up screaming or crying or in a sweat. And this went on through my first marriage, when I was in my 30s. And I remember one night my wife rolled over and hit me, by, I think by mistake. I'm not sure if Rosie was my first wife. And the next thing I knew, I was up and I had my hands around her throat. That's how traumatized I was. So I went to therapy for years. And I don't know if any of you ever heard me quack like Donald Duck. I would think you have, or at least a lot of you. But I have written here, while in psychotherapy, I realized that as a punishment for my attention-getting tactics in school, like quacking during a fire drill and getting a note sent home, that my father had to be at school with me at 8 o'clock the next morning. Well, my parents owned a bar, and my dad didn't get home until like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he had been drinking with the customers all night. And certainly when he came home and found the note, I got another beating, because he had to be in school at 8 o'clock the next morning. He just came home at 3. The thing is that I never woke up during the beatings. Slept right through them. God just protected me. It was in my head, but I never woke up. Which to this day, I still can't believe. And when I was in therapy, the therapist and I worked out the fact that that's what was happening, that I was being beaten in my sleep. And my father had died by that time. And I asked my mother if that was true. And she said, yes. She couldn't stop him from beating me. I guess he had so many problems in his life that I was the outlet for that anger. Well, kids, you don't want to bring home notes. Let's say your parents have to go to school. It's not a good thing. I don't think you'll get beaten with a belt or anything else, but these things happen, so mind your folks and mind your teachers. The summer of 81, Faye, who as you know now, was my inside contact with Sweetheart Cup, sent me a Bible. She said that God had told her to. Trust me, I didn't want to read it. It was for Gentiles. That's why I went and got my own. Down in the Bowery in New York is where they have all the religious stores. You could buy yarmulkes and Bibles and a tallis, a prayer shawl, things of that nature. And I have written down, finally, she told me that if I was looking for a proof that Jesus was the Messiah, she wasn't there to give it to me. So 32 years, almost. We still read each other's minds. And most of us, I know if you're married a long time, you'll realize that. If you're not reading each other's mind, you gotta look into that. The kids still think that we discuss everything before we give them an answer. The reality is we both thought the same answer. If it's money, the same amount of money that we would think of, and it just works that way with us. Well, a few months later, I was driving on the Bell Parkway in New York, about 60 miles an hour in the rain, which is the speed people slow down to in New York when it rains. And I went under an overpass and spun the car. No sound around me. I mean, there was traffic, wall-to-wall traffic. I didn't hear a horn. I didn't hear anybody crashing, because here I am spinning in the middle of the lane. And the only thought that came to mind at that time was, I could die right now. The car stopped in the right direction. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was blowing their horns. No crashes. And I just continued driving. At 42 years of age, November 26, 1983, I accepted Jesus as the Lord of my life. At that moment, a voice came to me and said, trust me and all will be well. I never, ever had that nightmare again, ever. It just stopped. So, some may think that when I became a Christian, I gave up being a Jew. Nothing could be further from the truth. What I am is a Messianic Jew who believes that the Messiah that the Jewish people are waiting for has already come, and his name is Jesus. And during the day, I know I talk to him, and I ask for help, even if it means finding a piece of paper that's right in front of me on my desk, which I can't find, or something I need done with the printer or the computer. I constantly ask for his help, and he has never let me down. Thank you.